on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
All right. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your co-host, Cody Van Cielo.
Man, we have got a show tonight. Cody, the basketball schedule came out, and basically some of the opponents that we have for men's and women's basketball. It's going to be a heck of a slate from what all the matches that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think looking at the schedule overall, my first reaction when I saw both the men's and women's schedules, I did see some really good matches I like to see and some that I wish we kind of had, but I'll take what we got. But before we get to that, I wanted to kind of open up with this eulogy for the new Big 12 as we welcome in the Arizona schools, the University of Arizona Wildcats, the Arizona State Sun Devils. Welcome back to the Big 12 Colorado Buffaloes, and welcome to the Big 12 Utah Utes. And yes, with those, welcomings, we also have to say a goodbye to the University of Oklahoma and to the University of Texas. Now, I have decided to just come up, like, I just wanted to be on the spot here, so I apologize in advance for anything I say here, but I just kind of want to get this off my chest. And yeah, so obviously, Oklahoma, you are a very respected university. We did enjoy having you here, but we know that Kyle Kemp, at the end of the day, owns Baker Mayfield. And Texas, before I get to Texas, is there anything, since Tyler, you have been around the Big 12 longer than I have, is there anything you want to say about the University of Texas?
Texas, you know, I cheered for you in that 05 National Championship game against USC. But, you know, the arrogance of your entire fan base and everybody else when you were going to leave us in the cold in the first Big 12 missile crisis, you know what? Screw you. So to hell with Texas and OU. Thank you for all the other Bigs for the four corner schools to coming. And to hell with Texas and Oklahoma. I hope you're mid in the SEC.
Yeah, quite the message, obviously. You were definitely around during the first Big 12 missile crisis. I wasn't around. Like, I was just very young. But from what I've understand, the last few years of Texas, they've just been basically trying to pull the strings. From what I've heard, they were kind of the reasons as to why Nebraska, Texas A&M, and Colorado all left the Big 12 and whatnot. And especially with the strings they try to pull with the Longhorn Network. I mean, in hindsight, I guess you could say it kind of saved the Big 12, especially saving Iowa State, because if Texas was to go to the Pac-12 along with some of the other schools and become the Pac-16, Iowa State may end up in like a Conference USA or the MAC, but that doesn't mean that I have a place to really respect Texas, because I mean, the last few years I've seen I built up a deep hatred for them, especially just certain players. I mean, The first player I can really think of off the top of my head is Tyrese Hunter. Now, obviously, for those who are in the know at Iowa State, Tyrese Hunter was a freshman standout on TJ Altenberger's first team. So that was the post 2-22 season under the final year under Steve Prohm. And Tyrese Hunter was a freshman recruited from Wisconsin. And he, along with Gabe Kalster and Isaiah Brockington, were some of the pieces who led Iowa State from 2-22 to the Sweet 16, beating LSU and Wisconsin on the way. But as the story goes, Tyrese Hunter decides to leave for Texas. And initially, I had seen, I'm like, okay, you wanted bigger money and whatnot. It's whatever. Obviously, the story about Tyrese Hunter's parents, that's commendable. You're doing what's best for your family. But it was just a matter of how you condoned yourself after the fact. Obviously, going on Twitter, berating the Iowa State program, disrespecting the program. And it just led to this deep hatred between Tyrese Hunter and just the general of Texas and Iowa State. I mean, we've even seen the video. A lot of you have seen the video about Gabe Kalischer wanting to play Texas for reasons unknown. Like, he didn't explicitly say it, but a lot of us knew it was to play Tyrese Hunter. And then in these, like, last couple of years, it's been fun just to see just the downfall of Texas for all the arrogance that, like, they talk about. They talk about, like, this being high program. Texas is back and yada, yada, yada. They really, in the big scheme of things, weren't exactly up there. I mean, in football, I mean, it was Oklahoma taking most of the, like, between the two schools. Oklahoma was the dominant one in the Big 12. And even in basketball, they didn't see as much because you obviously had Kansas, you have Baylor, you had Iowa State. And now they leave to the SEC. I mean, people are saying that in the SEC, Texas could be like one of the top teams in there. But changing conferences isn't an easy thing. Just ask the new guys that joined us last season, the Big 12, jumping up from like the independents and the AAC. Excuse me. So I just kind of want to leave it off there. I'm sick of Texas. I'm sick of everything they stand for. And that Burton Horse is disgusting. I never want to see that ever again, anywhere near Ames.
Bro, completely agree, unless it's in like a playoff matchup. But like, yeah, just to add a little bit more to that. I mean, ask A&M how they are. Like, now they're acquainted, but that was like a decade plus and they struggled. And teams are taking them to the woodshed. I mean, Mizzou is only profiting off of Florida being down. That's why they won like 10 games. Like, Mizzou fans will try to convince you that they're actually really good, but they're really only good because Florida's down. Sorry, that's my Florida fan bias. But anyways, to the women's schedule. So we're gonna start off with the non-con schedule. So I like this for the women's. They're going to be playing in Fort Myers, Florida over Thanksgiving weekend. So they're going to be – two of the teams are going to be playing are going to be South Carolina and Middle Tennessee. South Carolina are the reigning and defending national champions. Don Staley is a very, very respected and very good head coach. And then Middle Tennessee, man, what an opportunity for us to play South Carolina, defending national champions, to show – what our team will be in like the first few games.
Yeah. When I saw this matchup, I was like, oh, this is going to be a really I know that matchup is going to be, just mark it down your calendar, because November 28th is on that Thanksgiving weekend. But that is just a part of the crazy slate that Iowa State fans have for that weekend, or for that entire week of Thanksgiving. Because obviously you have the Fort Myers tip off. We mentioned that. You also have men's basketball in the Maui Invitational. We'll break that down a little later. But then you also get football with Farmageddon. So it's just going to be a really packed week for Cyclone fans. And I think this week is going to be one of the best weeks to be a Cyclone fan.
It sure is, man. I mean, you're going to be glued in front of your TV after you eat all that turkey and ham and all the other fixings. Like, you just sit down, watch her and cheer on your clones. What a weekend, man. What a weekend. I know I'll be sitting in front of my TV. And then about 3 weeks later, we have the Invesco QQQ Basketball Hall of Fame Women's Showcase. So we're going to be going up to Connecticut, I believe Hartford, to go face Paige Beckers in UConn. Paige Beckers is one of the rising stars in college basketball. And just the point guard matchup between her and Emily Ryan is going to be an elite matchup, and just another example for us to show how Iowa State is in the big time.
Yeah, and obviously I saw this UConn matchup. I'm like, oh, okay. So now we're starting to add like a lot of things. Like, this is going to be a really good showcase because it's obviously going to be in front of a big national audience, because UConn is a well-respected women's basketball program. You obviously have one of the best players in college basketball in Paige Beckers. Now, I will say this. Before the injuries that Paige Beckers has, unfortunately, she suffered them, she probably was on a trajectory like Caitlin Clark. Everybody knows Caitlin Clark and her achievements. Paige Beckers is right there. And if it wasn't for the injuries, I think Paige Beckers might be right there, if not perhaps exceeding those accolades that Clark has. But with that said, it's just great for Paige to be able to play basketball and just getting through, like, and fighting through all the adversities that she's faced over the past couple years with her health. And it's great to see her be play basketball. With that said, yeah, you're going to the Mohegan Sun Arena. You're playing one of the best teams in the country, and it's just a great, another great opportunity to really establish Iowa State as like a top tier program with everything going on. And it's just an overall great opportunity to show yourself on the biggest stage of them all.
Yeah. And just, yeah, it's just amazing what Bill Finley has done with this program, just continuing just to be consistent with this program and putting them in just even bigger, bigger and bigger spots to perform on the higher level. And of course we also have the yearly Cy-Hawk game. So right now this is going to be, Iowa is in a state of transition now because this is the post Lisa Bluder era and post Caitlin Clark era. So it's going to be interesting to see how they stack up. So now Jan Jensen, she is now the new head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And Lucy Olson is going to be one of the key players for Iowa as she transferred in from Villanova. And one of the main matchups in this iteration of the Cy-Hawk game will be Hannah Stuckey versus Audie Crooks.
Yeah, so obviously, Iowa, I mean, how do you replicate what you did with Caitlin Clark and Lisa Bluder? Obviously, Lisa Bluder retiring. Congrats on your retirement, Coach Bluder, and you did a lot for the University of Iowa, and you brought a lot of fame, accolades to the University of Iowa, so enjoy your retirement. And obviously, Caitlin Clark, although we absolutely abhor her here as Cyclone fans, I'll admit it, I really did not like her, especially when last season I got to go to the Cy-Hawk game, and just I never understood, like, people were saying like, oh, it's sold out because it's mainly Caitlin Clark, which I can see from your perspective, but my perspective, it's like, it's Cy-Hawk, it's gonna be right. A packed crowd regardless. I mean, Caitlin Clark just adds that extra importance, but at the end of the day, it's Cy-Hawk, it's gonna be packed regardless of how the teams are, because it's like the big thing here in the state of Iowa. But yeah, I actually was talking to a close friend of mine who is a Hawkeye fan, and I asked him the question of how is Iowa going to look now that Coach Lisa Bluder has retired, now that Caitlin Clarkson, the WNBA. I asked him how this Iowa team is going to look, and he told me that they're going to be all right. He even said that Iowa could be a Sweet 16 team, and I agree with him. Yeah, I could see him in the Sweet 16 come March, and maybe Elite Eight. It just depends if the matchup is right for Iowa. Say chaos happens, they get a favorable matchup, they could be in the Elite Eight, but I see them as Sweet 16. But with that said, I wanted to talk about the style matchup itself. I think the girls, like, again, our ladies, I think, should be able to go into Carver Hawkeye Arena. I don't know how the atmosphere is going to be post-Clark, but I'm assuming it's still going to be loud because of all this new success, and people want to see how they follow up. But I think this is a matchup where Iowa State can pull out the road win and just put a dent into Iowa season.
This is definitely can be a springboard game, because I believe this is a week before the UConn game, correct?
Yeah, I would assume so, based on how it was. Because last year at Hilton, they had the men's and women's Cy-Hawk game back-to-back, women's being the first game and then the men's the second. So based on what I've seen, if the men's Cy-Hawk game is going to be on December 12th, then it'll be the week before, probably like the day before the men's Cy-Hawk, so probably that Wednesday.
Man, this is going to be a heck of a non-conference slate. So let's take a look at the Big 12 slate. So the first, we're going to look at our three home-and-home matchups. So we have a home-and-home against UCF, a home-and-home against KU. Unfortunately, the women have struggled at Fog Allen. So this is going to be a challenge for them. But, hey, maybe they will rise up to that challenge this season. And then Kansas State, a team who they swept last season. Also, Ayuka Lee, who was one of the top players in the Big 12 last year, returns to Kansas State. So what are your thoughts in these home-and-home matchups?
I do like the Kansas and Kansas State home-and-home matches. I do like the opportunity to host both schools and also go to their respective buildings, Fog Allen for Kansas, in the Octagon of Doom for Kansas State. And the UCF matchup, I think the ladies want to get some revenge after last season. They fell short against the Knights. And I'll admit, UCF is one of the best places to be. But last year, there were a lot of Cyclone fans there in Orlando for that game. So it almost felt like a home game for UCF, or excuse me, Iowa State. But I think there were just some shooting struggles. I think this was in the middle of like that midseason slump that the ladies had. And that just is what happens when you have such a young team who isn't used to like these long traveling schedules, like the being on the road and playing in this this style of basketball being a little more physical than what they're used to. So I think it was just freshman struggle moments could also maybe be like something related to just the overall form of the team. But I think they have a good opportunity to get some revenge on UCF and maybe even do it in Orlando again with a bunch of Cyclone fans once more.
Yeah, man. Orlando has been was at least good to us for one of those games last year, with mm-hmm. basically being a home game. So let's go to the home slate, unless you had any thoughts about Kansas State or Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ioka Lee for Kansas State is going to be huge for them. They obviously lost a talented point guard, Gabby Gregory. Now, I was there for the Kansas mm-hmm. State game, and I tell you right now that Gabby Gregory had such like a popularity, but she also provided value for the team. And mm-hmm. I think she was just a key anchor for that squad, and losing somebody like her is going to be a little tough for Kansas State to replicate. But Ioka Lee being right in the middle, like with her height and just her ability, I think Kansas State will be fine. And as for Kansas, yeah, definitely struggled at Fog Allen. I just think we just couldn't really shoot the ball well. I mean, we were doing fine. We were holding our own on defense. We just couldn't shoot the ball well. But I think all the transfers that we've added, it's a lot of sharpshooters. I look at this team. This women's team is basically looking like the 2016 Golden State Warriors with how many girls we have that can shoot the ball. And I'll tell you right now, if somehow we get Audie Crooks to shoot even more shots and they just go in, I really don't know how you're going to stop like that team. If you just have all the sharpshooters like on the perimeter, then you even have Audie Crooks pulling up. How do you guard that team?
You don't. You don't. It's simple, you don't.
Yeah. You better bring your A game when it comes to shooting as well. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be like the old Big 12 football game. So you better be on your A game. Otherwise, you're not going to survive.
Make sure to bring your best shoes. Okay, so let's talk about some of the home games. Two of these three home games will highlight a return of some former players. So, but first, we got TCU, and Haley Van Lith was one of the top gets in the transfer portal in women's basketball. She transferred from LSU to TCU. That's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think with the HVL transfer, I think it's just a matter of fit. Now, what I've heard from from her camp and the LSU camp, I think it was just like it wasn't a great fit for Haley Van Lith. Obviously, watching Haley Van Lith at Louisville, she was certainly a baller and one of the best players in the country. And she decided to go to LSU after 3 years at Louisville. She graduated early. She was a 3-year graduate from Louisville, so she went to LSU to join a championship team. But it just didn't work out. I really think that not enough people understood like just how chemistry works. Maybe people were like being a little harsh on Haley Van Lith for her performance. I think there is some fair criticism of how she was performing, but I think that also just comes down to how she gelled with the team. And I just don't think that LSU and her were a great fit. So her going to TCU, I think could actually be fun, like, to watch and just see how she does there. Now, at one point, it did look like for a moment that it was going to be Haley Van Lith and Haley Cavender, one of the Cavender twins, both at TCU. So that would have gotten a lot of eyeballs on social media for that school. And obviously, Haley Cavender returning to Miami along with the twin sister, Hannah. But right. I think just with Haley Van Lith there, fans are going to show up for that game. And I'll tell you right now, the fraternities are all going to show up to that TCU game, but only for one reason. That one reason being HVL.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that post that you put up on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. A couple of my other friends are posting the exact same thing.
Man, that was so wild. yeah. All right, let's get on to Texas Tech. All right. So Jalen Bristow, she returns. What are your thoughts about that? About Jalen Bristow returning back to Hilton Coliseum?
I mean, obviously, last year Jalen Bristow was part of that Fab Five recruiting class that we brought into Ames last year. Obviously, Audie Crooks, Addie Brown, Arian Jackson, Kelsey Jones, and Jalen Bristow—they were all brought in together. Just the thought of all five of those girls being brought in together in one recruiting class is crazy. I think that recruiting class was better than the recruiting class of Ashley Jones, or yeah, Emily Ryan, Alexia Donarski, and Danae Fritz. I don't know if all four of them were the same recruiting class, but I know Ryan, Donarski, and Fritz were all the same recruiting class. But just to have those two recruiting classes like within the last like 10 years is crazy and a testament to what Coach Bill Fenley has done for that women's team. But with Jalen Bristow, I think what I read for her reason to go to Texas Tech, I think she was just kind of like homesick. I mean, sometimes players just want to be closer to home and like have their family there to watch their games. So I can understand that. Like, I was really disappointed because I think Jalen Bristow was a solid like player off the bench for Iowa State. It was a solid like four whenever we needed a before when Audie Crooks was like out or whatever, and Addie Brown was like running the five, or Isnell Natabu was running the five. Jalen Bristow gave us some like good moments. I mean, her performance in the Stanford game in the second round of March Madness, I thought at that point that she had a solid roster spot and she'd be right there to possibly being a starter. But at the end of the day, she decides to transfer to Texas Tech. I mean, just being homesick and wanting to be closer to home. I can understand that, and all power to her, and I hope she does well at Texas Tech.
Besides when they play us, the best of luck to her. We also have another returning player, Niamh Radu, who I believe was in the front court. She transferred to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this one was just a grad school transfer. Niamh Radu had done just about everything she could here in Ames, so she decides to transfer out for grad school, and she decided to choose Colorado. And it was just funny when we saw that they were on our schedule. It's like, well, that wasn't a long exit. We'll be seeing you here soon. But I think this one's going to be a little more friendly because, I mean, Niamh Radu was one of the leaders from the team last year when, after all the chaos with all the transfers, Niamh Radu along with Emily Ryan were like the two anchors for that team along with Hannah Bellinger as the senior class.
All right. This is going to be an interesting home slate. And also, just to round out the home schedule, we also have BYU, Houston, and Utah. And just like you said, you mentioned Danae Fritz. So we're going to move to the away schedule. We're going to have Danae Fritz, and we want to go to Baylor. So talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so just 2 years. I mean, obviously, she was a part of like the team 2 years ago. She was a solid like guard off. Her along with Lexi Donarski was like was a pretty cool like duo. I mean, she was a part of like that mass exodus of talent after. I mean, Ashley Jones graduated, Stephanie Suarez like was drafted, and then we just had like it was just a mass exodus of talent, and it sucked because I did think after watching her my sophomore year that Danae Fritz would become a part of like the leaders of the women's team. Obviously, that didn't work. She decided to pursue a different path. So she chose Baylor to link up with Nikki Collin, who is a very successful head coach at LSU before coming to Baylor. So obviously, she's under like one of the best coaches in women's basketball. But it just left like a sour taste in my mouth, like in one of my buddies' mouth and my mouth a little bit, because it's just I'd never understood like the way. The reasoning she mentioned leaving was because it was for a faster play of style. But when we ran the numbers and we saw the data, we saw that Iowa State ran a faster play style than Baylor did. So it was just kind of weird. So it led to within the Iowa State women's locker room. But at the end of the day, started transferring, and that's fine. But I am disappointed that this Baylor matchup is going to be away only, because this was one of those matchups I really wished was a home and home.
Yeah, I realized that every time we played Baylor at home, this was one of the games that was always packed. So yeah, it just sucks that in this new Big 12 that there's going to be some games that we're not going to be playing twice a year regularly. Mm-hmm. So do you have any thoughts on the Arizona schools or Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, or West Virginia? Do you think any of those teams will give Iowa State a challenge?
It could definitely be West Virginia. I mean, a trip to Morgantown is never fun for anybody, men's or women's. So going to Morgantown is going to be very difficult. Obviously, our ladies experienced that last season. And just a trip to Morgantown is not great. But looking at the rest of the away slate, this is looking like a favorable away slate. They can definitely win in Cincinnati, win in Stillwater. The Arizona schools, I don't have too much of an inclination for, but I think Iowa State should be able to take care of business, especially with how this team looks. So the only real difficulties I see for the women's conference schedule is like going on the road to the Fog, going to Manhattan, and then going to Morgantown. Those, I think, are the only really tough games for the ladies.
Yeah, I agree. Anytime to go to Morgantown, just be prepared to be in a dogfight, Matt. That's just... is always tough going into Morgantown.
Yep.
Man, so here on to the men's. Man, we were blessed. We were blessed with this slate. And just, I was so tired of people dogging us for, oh, you guys had a horrible non-conference schedule. I'm like, yeah, but we play in one of the best conferences in basketball, which apparently doesn't matter because we got screwed out of a one seed. But that's just, you know what, it's a whole new year. We're gonna go get into it. Let's look at these teams in the Maui Invitational. We got UConn, the two-time defending national champions, North Carolina, who made it to the Elite Eight, Michigan State, who's always a basketball power, Auburn, who's good, Memphis, Tyrese Hunter again. Hopefully we get to play them and beat them. Colorado, who was a tournament team. Dayton, who did well in the A-10. So, man, what do you think about this? Is a loaded Maui Invitational. What do you think? How do you think men's basketball fares?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned people criticizing Iowa State for having a weak non-con, and there is some truth to it. Just the people who really schedule, like, it's just not the greatest. They aren't really like those quad one or maybe even high quad twos. They're mostly like quad three or quad four teams. So I get it. I get the criticism. But at the same time, it's like I learned this from one of my old teachers. Don't hate the player, hate the game. And the game is built that the way it is. And I don't think people understand those quad three, quad four wins don't really do anything. And like you said, we play in the best conference in the Big 12 in the country, in the Big 12. So we're always going to have quad one games and quad one win opportunities just around the corner. Even if it's like the lowest tier of the Big 12, you're still going to get like a quad one, a lower quad one, maybe even a quad two opportunity. So it's the criticism is fair. I understand, but I think not enough people are realizing just the difficulty of playing inside the Big 12, but I'm pretty sure this Maui Invitational is going to hush some people and humble some people, because obviously, like you mentioned, we have defending national champions, two-time defending national champion UConn Huskies. You have North Carolina, who was a perennial blue blood, went to the Elite Eight. Michigan State, led by Tom Izzo, even when you think they're down, they're still going to find a way to beat you. Auburn. And Auburn, I did watch. They had a really disappointing showing, losing to Yale in the first round. I don't think they could get a bucket to save their life in like the last 5 minutes of that game. Because I was watching it with one of my buddies who was a big Auburn guy. They just couldn't get a shot like for the last 5 minutes to save them. And then Memphis, they are solid. They're like a solid like mid-major team. I mean, obviously Tyrese Hunter, there's that extra layer for at least Iowa State fans, but not for the team itself, because it was mainly Gabe Kalischer, Tyrese Hunter beef. So with Gabe Kalischer gone, it's not going to hit the same, but to Iowa State fans, it still will. And then you have Colorado and Dayton rounding out the field. This is going to be a really good opportunity for Iowa State to pick up a lot of quad one wins and put on their NCAA tournament resume, hey, we beat all of these teams here, whatnot. This is where we had them in the preseason, and this is how they turn out now, and we have that win. So I think it's a great opportunity to pick up a lot of big quad one wins for your NCAA tournament resume.
Yeah, this is the time to turn some heads, change some minds, like just to change the mentality from last year. Just like this is a huge, huge opportunity for the men's basketball program to get to a different levels and get into some of those elite, into that elite discussion for some of these programs up this upcoming season. And, before we had the Big 12 SEC Challenge, I like the Big 12 Big East Challenge. I love the Big East conference as a whole. And I realize that based on the Big 12 Big East are the results from the year prior. So obviously I was at, since the we were playing DePaul last year, that game was in Chicago. So of course I went, and it was an absolute stinker because we won, but it was basically like 90% Iowa State fans. It's like a home game. But I'm glad that we're playing Marquette because this is another chance for us to prove ourselves, man. Marquette was a very, very good team last year.
Yeah. And, yeah, like you mentioned, DePaul, like, we don't control like that. I mean, we didn't know at the – I mean, they were bad when we played them. We didn't know they were going to be that bad. But right. Obviously, how are we supposed to know they're going to be that bad before we play them? Because obviously they were all right, like when we played them like this past season. But obviously people criticize us. That's another piece of criticizing Iowa State. It's a non-con. But I believe this game against Marquette and you get Shaka Smart in the building, it's going to be a really I hope to see Hilton Coliseum rocking. Because one thing I didn't know, like, about, like, some of these games, like, as they, like, or the non-con games, these are around, like the big, like, the end of the school semester. So you have a lot of students preparing, mm-hmm. like, final projects, studying for final exams, having final laboratories and practicals and whatever and whatever. So it does kind of play a like, you are going to really be able to get as many people, like, there, unless it's a really marquee matchup because right. of academic obligations. But Marquette in Ames, that's going to be a marquee matchup, and I'm going to expect people to camp out. I mean, I've already made my intentions to, as soon as maybe Kansas State football game is done, maybe me and my buddies are going to just maybe take a short walk to Hilton, set up our ice shack, and just have it there for a couple of days while we wait Marquette.
Get more exposure for this pod. Come on. That's gonna be a hell of a atmosphere, man. I'm excited for you to be camping out. So that's gonna be interesting. And as of course, as it is interesting every single year, is the Cy-Hawk game. And what I didn't know is that the last four or five matchups have been blowouts on either side. What do you think happens in this one?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe the same. I mean, obviously, watching the Cy-Hawk game from last season, the announcers did mention that the last four or five have been blowouts by like either team. And then obviously, I think Iowa had won like the last four or five up until that game where Iowa State decided to take Iowa out back and prove that they were the supreme team here in the state. But I think this could likely be the same, but I think this time around it's going to be Iowa State that takes it, because with looking at the roster that you bring, like that you have for Iowa State, you put that on, at least on paper. This is at least on paper. You put that next to Iowa's roster, there really isn't too much that I've seen. I know Iowa picked up a few transfers. I can't think of their names off the top of my head, but they did lose a big piece of the Iowa squad and Tony Perkins. And Tony Perkins was like one of like the main and probably only pieces of offense that Iowa had. It's just, now that he's gone to Mizzou, it's how do you replace that production? Obviously, Peyton Sanford is coming back from, he originally declared for the NBA draft, but wasn't drafted. Decided to come back to Iowa, it looks like, based on what I saw on their roster for this coming up season. But I think it's going to once again perhaps be a blowout. But I think this time Iowa State is going to be the one handing the blowout loss to Iowa.
I could totally see that happening. And I believe us to reign supreme in this Iowa matchup. But, man, this home and home, though. Like these three teams, like, were probably, besides, like, Houston, but these are, like, the three of the teams that I wanted to have a home and away with. Like, Arizona has been probably one of the top programs in the nation since the late 90s. KU is always something, and I wanted to face them at the Fog last year. Just like every time we play KU, it always goes and at Allen Fieldhouse, and then K-State, man, with Tangate and all that stuff, Coleman Hawkins adding him to the mix in this rivalry. You know, Farmageddon is always crazy, and it's gonna go to another level, man. I can't stand them. I can't stand them. But let's start with Arizona. The Arizona, Caleb Love returns, who originally played at UNC, and then Trey Townsend joins them. What do you think about us playing Arizona? I'm really, really excited to play them.
Oh, I'm marking this down on my calendar. As soon as I figure out what day and time this game is, I'm marking down my calendar, because this is going to be one of the best games in Hilton Coliseum that season. Nope. No question about it. I mean, you're bringing in a perennial powerhouse in the Pac-12 in Arizona. And Arizona is always known as, like, one of the best teams in college basketball consistently. Maybe they don't have the championships to show for it, but they always look like a threat, no matter how, like, no matter what their last season was. They always look like a threat to make a deep run and maybe win a national championship. And the Caleb Love deciding to return to Arizona, I did watch him last season at Arizona after he transferred from UNC, and he was one of the best pieces on that roster. And the way he plays, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how his play style goes against this TJ Osselberger style of defense. And then I also mentioned Trey Townsend. Now, Trey Townsend was a part of that Oakland Golden Grizzlies roster that beat Kentucky in the NCAA tournament last season as, like, one of the major upsets.
Wow.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that were just letting it rain all over Kentucky. And to think Kentucky had a bunch of, like, future NBA draft picks on there, and for Oakland to do that to them, I mean, this is a good pickup for Arizona to add some shooting to their roster. And I'm very excited for that matchup at Hilton, but I'm also excited for that matchup. Is it Tucson, or I don't remember what city they
play? Yeah, they're in Tucson.
Okay, yeah, but that matchup at Tucson. Because that arena is one of the best arenas, unlike in the Western United States. And I've watched a few Arizona games. I believe they played UNC last year, or I don't remember who they played. But watching a few Arizona games, especially when it's a high marquee matchup, that crowd gets into it. They get into it. And I think it's going to be a really good atmosphere for Iowa State to play in. And obviously, it's going to be a great opportunity for a quad one win for them.
Completely agree, man. Like this Arizona matchup, I was hoping, I'm like, man, I really, really hope we play Arizona in basketball, because just like the way that their arena set up is, like, those fans are on top of you, dude. Like it's just hearing the crowd, even from the TV, it's like so loud. It's absolutely amazing. And of course, I feel like probably they don't consider us a rival, but I consider us team that we've competed with is KU. I want to see how, like, you already know that it's sort of like a given that KU is going to rebound. Bill Self always figures it out. We won 79-75 last year in that whiteout game. That was a very, very good game. They got some key transfer portal pickups, as of course you know they would. How do you think we fare against KU this year?
I think it's going to be I think it'll be a little better matchup. Obviously, Kansas, they weren't really that great. It was literally just a 5-man roster, because all it was the last year, it was just Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, Kevin McCullough, DeJuan Harris, and then Johnny Furphy picked up around December. But other than that, they really had nothing. I mean, they had, I guess you had El Marco Jackson and then Nicholas Timberlake. Those are the only two guys I could think of that got prominent minutes for KU outside of the starting five. That starting five for KU was absolutely disgusting, and it just reeked early week, like first weekend exit, and that's exactly what they were. I mean, they almost lost to Samford if it wasn't for a missed call, I believe, right. And Twitter was on a storm about that. But then they got taken out back by Gonzaga. So
yeah, and just the whole injury stuff with Kevin McCullough. Will he play? Won't he play? Will he play? Won't he play? That was just a whole mess. But I expect KU to bounce back. But, you know, this next team that we're gonna bring up, man, this team, I can't stand these guys, man. This is the Kansas State Wildcats, bro. Or the Wildcats, I should say. Like, the whole Tangate stuff and all them making fun of us for not making it to the Elite Eight. Oh, we made it. Shut up. Y'all didn't even make the tournament last year. Just shut up, man. Like,
yep.
let's get into this, man. Mm-hmm. Let's break down K-State.
Yeah. So, I mean, last season, they came to the home Coliseum. At the time, they were, like, first in the Big 12. I mean, they were, like, not as great of a team. But, I mean, you're still first in the Big 12 up to that point, so you're fine. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that whole, like, Tangate and what happened there, it was, like, crazy. Obviously, like, I will say this. I did not go to this game personally. I had academic things I was doing. And I told my buddies I can't make it, but I'm going to just go camp after the KU game. And that's exactly what I did. But from what they were telling me, it was a really rough game for the officials. I mean, you have 47 fouls get called. You basically couldn't breathe if you were a basketball player without possibly getting called for a foul. But that's just one of the things that like makes that game in Hilton just infamous. Because obviously, with Tangate, Jerome Tang and his staff were just absolutely ridiculous. Like, you're cursing out student managers, and you're calling them cheating MFers. You're alleging that they're stealing your signs because they're like literally trying to like just relax like or whatever, and like they clean the floor or whatever just because one of them had a mop and the other kid had a whiteboard. You're alleging that Iowa State had planted like assistant staff in the crowd right behind your bench to play a relay game with like their signals to get it to T.J. Altsberger. First of all, that has already been like T.J. Altsberger already put out a statement saying those are ludicrous and that is ridiculous. And that's like an attack on his integrity. Because one thing that you have to understand, this staff at Iowa State, they're nuts when it comes to preparation. They'll literally prepare for a game weeks in advance while sitting on the plane, traveling to a game that they have in like a day or two. So this staff does not take prep lightly. And for you to claim that they were stealing your signals, I don't think they were stealing your signals. They just game plan for you so well that they knew exactly what you're going to do. That's literally called prep. That's the whole point of prep. The fact that your fan base is alleging that when you clearly know that their job is to prep for you, that's ridiculous. And that's one of the things. So there are three things that K-State fans alleged happened in that game. Number one, we've already mentioned the sign stealing. Number two, throwing stuff onto the players and onto the bench. That is absolutely ridiculous. Literally nobody was throwing anything on there. I asked my friends who were all there at the game if they saw anything get thrown and if anybody was taken care of for doing such. And they told me no. They told me no. Event staff was even asked about that. And they said they saw nothing get thrown. So that's out the window. And now the third one. This is the one that is mainly perpetrated by Jerome Tang's sister, Kim, on Twitter, which was racial slurs being thrown out and fans allegedly throwing out words like the N-word. Now, I'll let you speak on that regard.
Yeah, those are hefty, hefty accusations. Now, I'm not saying, like, both fan bases could are not above that, and it could happen, but we don't know what happened. But like, if you're gonna say that type of stuff, you gotta be absolutely sure that like somebody really said that. Those are really, really some hefty accusations. That's where I'm gonna keep it at, is that those are really, really some hefty accusations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, and Circling back to the, like, before we move on, I wanted to circle back to the Science Stadium thing. Do people not realize that you get no signal inside of Hilton Coliseum? I've been in that building so many games, and you cannot make a text, make a phone call, or do anything like that on your phone. You get barely any service in there. So the fact that they tried to put this Science Stadium thing is ridiculous. That's stupid. And then TJ had, like, mentioned this in his presser after the Kansas game, that they were ridiculous, and it was just like kind of like just addressing everything. But what that game did give us was the birth of Cyclone Jim Carrey.
I was about to add that. I was like, it gave us Cyclone Jim Carrey. Dude, I messaged him on Twitter. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I got to get a picture with you during football season. Like, the three of us all need to get one together. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It was absolutely amazing. And then just like as it progressed, he dressed up as different Jim Carrey characters, and then this like carried over to the Big 12 tournament when we played them again for a third time. It was this is Farmageddon, guy. This is Farmageddon.
Yeah.
And
not to mention that this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not to mention that this game basically was the start of like the period where every single coach that played against us, whether men's or women's, picked up a technical foul.
Oh yeah,
I had a whole like notebook of all the coaches who picked up a technical foul against us, and it was like five coaches in a row. So it was four men's and one women's. There was Jerome Tang, obviously was the start. Mm-hmm. Bill Self. J.C. Hoyt from Oklahoma State women's team, mm-hmm. Scott Drew, and then Ronnie Terry. So do I think that's going to happen again? Probably not, but it's like some crazy thing. That's like one of those crazy things that you see in like those record books that you never like actually look for. But yeah, as you mentioned, Coleman Hawkins coming from Illinois. I want your commentary on his decision to go to Manhattan.
Well, he endeared himself to the Iowa State fan base, where I don't know who it was when he was talking about K-State, but then he showed a picture of himself dunking on Iowa State and during the mm-hmm. tournament game where we lost to Illinois. So it's going to be another fun year with K-State fans on Twitter. That's all I got to say about that. Mm-hmm. So after that, like, we have UCF and Colorado, which I think both of those teams we should Colorado might be a challenge. Colorado was a tournament team, so Colorado might be solid, but who knows? Baylor, man, one of the home only games we got. And man, that game in Waco last year was bananas.
Yeah, I literally stayed up like very late because I think I was like just doing stuff. I was finishing homework, so I decided to tune in because what was it? It was an 8 p.m. tip off Central Time.
It was 8 p.m.
tip off. Oh my gosh, that thing was like I was basically in bed watching that game, and that first half for Iowa State was ugly. It was mm-hmm. ugly, but then the second half comes around, you get all those fouls on Baylor, you get the 20-0 run, at that point, it's just like, how do you go on a 20-0 run? I'm just, what? I mean, obviously, you had to add in the fact that Scott Drew had already gotten a technical foul, I believe, earlier in the game. And then he got a second one, and that's the one that ejected him. So I think that was kind of like one of the main pieces for Iowa State going on that big 20-0 run to get themselves back into the game. And then the momentum went back into Baylor's hands. And then you get to the end of the game, and we get to Milan's buzzer beater that wasn't a buzzer beater. I want your thoughts on that.
Oh man, that buzzer beater. Oh, I was going crazy. I'm like, oh, he got it. He got it. Let's go. Man, that would have been a huge, huge win for us because that would have kept mm-hmm. us up with Houston. Unfortunately, he held on them for a bit too long. But it was, you know, we beat Baylor getting in the Big 12 tournament, so it made up for it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun playing Baylor at home again.
Oh, for sure.
Now we have TCU at BYU. Man, that BYU game at home was absolutely insane, bro. That's probably like one of the low key one of the best atmosphere games last year. That was insane, where we had to come back, where we had a little bit of a shooting spell, but we just kept fighting and then ended up and winning by four. It was a hell of a game, dude.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, it was obviously senior night, so it was a very, very emotional night for the team and for the Cycle fans as a whole. And yeah, BYU, man. I mean, we obviously wanted revenge after they kind of kicked their ass in Provo. I mean, you had Hassan Ward.
Yeah, that was sad.
You had Hassan Ward get ejected from the game for something that, like, for I believe he was like just threw somebody to the ground. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of the time Melvin Edgem. I think he
flicked off the ground. Yeah,
yep, it was the students. It was the student section that he flipped off. I'm like, oh my god, this is on the same level as that. But with that said, the return matchup at home, yeah, Iowa State went down 14 at one point. I think it was 16 at one point, and then they just started chipping away. They chipped away at the lead. They didn't go on like a massive run, like just all of a sudden. They chipped away at the lead and BYU just weren't able to handle it. And I mean, it's another case. You can put this as another chapter, Hilton Magic. But I think by the seven-minute marker left in the second half, BYU had ran out of all their timeouts. So they basically went the rest of that game with no timeouts, not able to stop the clock. And there were some major plays made in that second half for Iowa State to win that game, especially coming from Taman Lipsey. Because obviously he had a missed shot, then he just crept up behind the guy like he was trying to time his tackle to stop the guy from scoring a touchdown, steals it, and then they get a bucket off of it. And then I believe a little bit later on, he just pulls up from the top of the perimeter with a three. It hits the rim in the backboard. And for that moment right there, right before it hits nylon, you could hear a pin drop. It went dead silent. And then the shot drops, and it was just so loud. I think I lost my hearing. BYU, and this was a funny thing I saw on Twitter about this game. BYU fans were just like talking about the wood planks, because you know on the roof of Hilton Coliseum, they have these wood planks, and they were making comments about it. I joked with a few of my friends that for that game, we should just like go and wrap up that entire roof with a bunch of aluminum foil. Yeah, I think it was on the message board or something. I don't remember what it was, but I think we just want to do that as like a prank on BYU.
Hilarious, man. I remember there was a ton of their fans complaining after that game, too. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if their philosophy on ball, on the way they play basketball is going to be different, because their head coach, if you did not know, left to go to Kentucky. So now he's going to be – so now they have a new head coach, so I wonder if their philosophy is still going to be live by the three, die by the three. So it's going to be interesting to see how they fare. And then the other two games, home games, we have Colorado and Utah. So now let's transition into the away games. Our bros are probably the other team that we get along with. I did not think would be Houston, but we do. But Houston, we finished second right behind them. Both matchups were great. They lost Jamal Said. I believe Jamal Said got signed by the Raptors, so congrats to him. Jawan Roberts, who is a really, really good front court player that they have, and Joseph Tugler, who was out for most of the season last year, he returns. He's a solid player for them. How do you see Houston faring?
Man, I love their fan base. They're definitely one of the best fan bases. Yeah. I think one thing that I did see people talk about Houston, they basically play like Iowa State. Houston and Iowa State are very, very similar in how they play basketball, with just relentless defense, and they just are all over you, and they get you in transition. And we saw that, like, constantly. I mean, you look at Hilton Coliseum and the Fertitta Center. Those two places were places you did not want to play basketball in, because I believe they were two of, like, the only few schools that went undefeated at home.
And you want to know what the amazing thing is, Cody, is that their stadium is like two times smaller than ours, and they still make that much noise. It's absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, they have a capacity of like 7,000, I believe, compared to Hilton's 14,500. But yeah, their fan base certainly makes up for it, and I love that. Now, one thing I did note from their home slate last season, like, whenever if you step into Fertitta Center, you were not winning that game. It was just a matter of how much did you lose by, and most often than not, you lost by at least double digits. But when Iowa State came into town and they played in the Fertitta Center, they actually put up a really good fight. They were like the only team out of that entire like home slate for Houston that put up a decent fight and kept it within single digits. The big difference in that game, just like the one at Hilton Coliseum when Houston was undefeated overall at the time, was a big run on offense to start the game. Iowa State went on a 14-0 run to start in the game in Hilton when it was snowing. You had that blizzard, whatever. Houston, they went on, I believe, a 17 or 18, 19-3 run, something like that. So both teams, basically, that game was only won because of the big run that you had at like the beginning of the game. But other than that, those two teams are very alike. But unfortunately, in the third matchup in Kansas City, we decided to dunk all over them. I mean, Hassan Ward caught a body, and I basically, I think I made this like as a recurring theme of that season. Hassan Ward posters. I called it TJ's New Testament with the scriptures of Hassan. I just wrote like random things while I'm like, cause I, while like in like Bible verse-esque. So I hope you got a laugh out of that. See.
That's hilarious, man. I look for us to be some of the top teams up in the conference again. Let's talk about Tech. McCaslin, I believe it was his first year last year. He had a solid team with Tech last year. I think with them, with Texas Tech, I think Texas Tech is going to be a solid team once again under McCaslin. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Tech will be right there in contention, maybe like contending for like a higher seed, maybe like a top six seed in the Big 12 tournament. But a lot of us know, Iowa State fans know, a trip to Lubbock is never fun. That's going to be this is going to be one of those road trips that you are not going to have fun with. Like Lubbock is known, like they're known for pulling out massive upsets. Hell, I mean, they even beat KU in Lubbock. So that
they destroyed KU. They beat them by 27.
I forgot that they destroyed him. I was when I saw that score, I was like, "I know there are. I know this is in Lubbock, but they put this on Kansas." I didn't even know how to speak about it.
Yeah. So enough about them. Let's go to West Virginia. West Virginia just did an absolute overhaul, especially with the stuff about with Huggins. He wasn't able to return and. His assistant coach took over, and he never really had a chance. But they bring in Darian DeVries from Drake, a local guy, and he's bringing his son with him, and along with some other key contributions in the portal. So I definitely see West Virginia being one of the top teams in the Big 12. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean the Darian DeVries hire very exciting because I got to see a. I'm obviously from Des Moines, so Drake is not too far. It's just like a 10-minute drive. So being close to like great basketball and what Darian DeVries did for the Bulldogs in the Missouri Valley. I mean, obviously they went on to win the Missouri Valley tournament. I think Indiana State had won the regular season title, but it was really a two-horse race between Drake University and Indiana State for Missouri Valley. And getting to watch Darian DeVries and his team in the NAP. Really fun to watch. Those guys can really score a lot of points. I mean, Tucker DeVries obviously is a main man. But, yeah, I'm really excited for this team, this new team, this new West Virginia team. I don't know if we're going to get anything like Press Virginia. We might see maybe a mix of that, but also a lot more offense. And like I said about the Texas Tech trip, and I said this about the women's side as well, a road trip to Morgantown is never fun. It's not fun.
No, I guarantee you that the Tech game is going to be at 8 p.m. The West Virginia game is usually at 6 p.m. But still, it's just not going to be fun at all. Then the other two away games are going to be at Arizona State and at Oklahoma State. Do you have any thoughts on those or just any final thoughts in general?
Yeah, obviously Oklahoma State, they're still in a transitional. I have no clue what they're doing there, so that should be an easy road win for the Cyclones. But going to Arizona State, although they aren't exactly like a marquee like team, road trip to the West, never fun. It kind of throws off your circadian, it throws off your clock, it throws your internal clock off in your routine. So it we'll have to see how TJ Altenberger and his staff adapts to the team. But yeah, so looking at the slates overall for both our men's and women's teams, this is going to be a really good year for our both squads. There's a lot of opportunities to really become a big name and establish yourself as one of the best teams in the country. I think the women's team, they're likely going to be the best in the Big 12, obviously, with the departure of Texas and Oklahoma. You basically get rid of like the two main powerhouses of women's basketball that isn't named like Iowa State and Baylor. So I think the for the women, their goal should be to win the regular season and perhaps the tournament title. So Big 12 champions is their goal. I think that should be the goal for them. Sure. And on the men's side, you're going to get a lot more competition, but I think Iowa State's right up there. Them along with Kansas, Arizona, Baylor, and Houston. Those five are going to be the five I look for to become champions in the Big 12. And this is just exciting. This is going to be a very exciting time to be an Iowa State fan. And this is going to be a highly demanding time for you to get out to Hilton Coliseum and watch a basketball game for either squad.
Yes, please come out and support your clones. Do it for me, since I live 4.5 hours away. Y'all just do it for me. Do it for Tyler. But you better believe
we'll bring a car. I'll try to bring a cardboard cutout. We'll try to bring a cutout of you.
Yeah, it's okay. We need to take a picture, and then if I see myself on national television, hey, there I am. you better believe for sure. That I'm definitely going to be down in Kansas City next year for the tournament. I went there for the first time, and just interacting with just other fan bases is just absolutely magical. But yeah, man, what an episode. This was a very, very fun episode to break down. We still got months and months and months before. We still got football season coming. But as for that, football season, tune in next week. Guys, content's going to be ramping up. We look forward to bringing you next week. Big 12 Media Days is next week, so we're going to break down some of what some of the other teams in the Big 12 are doing, including Iowa State. We're going to break down what Matt Campbell said in during these media, during the media times and media interviews. So it should be interesting to see how this team's going to be looking, ramping up. But that is all the time that we have tonight. So for Tyler Carter
and Cody Van Cielo,
this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Go Cyclones.
Go State.